First, I just want to start off and tell you a little bit about me, so you know who you're speaking to. I'm an attorney. I'm from Rochester, New York. What I spend my days doing now, for the most part, is writing and speaking to lawyers about the intersection of law and technology to help lawyers understand how technology affects their practices. And one of the things I've been speaking about since about 2007 is social media, and how initially it was how lawyers could use social media in their practices, because at that point it was a fairly new phenomenon. My Social Media for Lawyers book was published by the ABA in 2010. Social media is used in advocacy. It's used in litigation. Lawyers are using social media to get information about witnesses. They're using social media to get information about jurors and potential jurors. But obviously, when it comes to doing that, there are ethical implications. And so that's a good part of what I'm going to focus on today, is how can you ethically navigate the using social media in litigation based upon what ethics opinions have been handed down at this point. And there aren't that many, but there are enough guiding ones to give you some guidance. So I think everyone, just the fact that you're here, you understand social media is not a fad. It is a phenomenon. It's changed our culture very quickly. It changes the way we communicate, the way we interact, the way that we conduct business. And it's really, offers a ton of information when it comes to litigation, if you know how to use it properly. The thing that I think is super important to understand about social media is it's important to attend CLEs like this and learn about it, because at the very least you need to understand how it works, understand what is accessible there and how to access it. Because if you're not, I would argue it's actually malpractice in a lot of ways to not at least understand these things and then make an educated decision about whether you want to use them in your practice. Because your opponents are using social media, and witnesses and your clients certainly are using social media, and you need to be able to make educated decisions about whether to use them for your clients, because at the end of the day, you're going to be providing better client representation by doing that. Lawyers can't afford to be left out of the loop. It's incredibly important to at least educate yourself, like I just said, and make sure that you're making an educated decision about these things. And one thing that becomes somewhat important when you're dealing with the ethics of these is understanding what information is private and what information is public. What's behind a privacy wall and what is just viewable by the public. Because different rules apply in terms of how to access that information. So generally speaking, first we'll talk about Twitter, which is the little bird there. Generally speaking, Twitter is public by default. So when you create a Twitter account, it's a public account unless you choose to protect it. And that means that if somebody goes to your Twitter page, to your profile, and mine is Nikki Black. If you have a computer and you're interested in, or a phone and you want to see what I mean, you type in twitter.com/ Nikki, N-I-K-I-D-L-A-C-K. And if you go to my Twitter profile page, you'll see every tweet that I've ever tweeted and responses to my tweets. It's publicly available. I didn't protect my Twitter profile. Most people don't. And so that means that if you go to somebody's Twitter feed, you can see all of their tweets, and it's viewable by the public. You don't have to be their friend. You don't have to be connected to them in any way to view that, unless they've chosen to protect it, in which case you'll go to their profile page, and it'll say, this user has chosen to protect their tweets, and you'll have to request to be there to follow them, to access their tweets behind that privacy wall. But for the most part, tweets are public. And then we move on to Facebook. By default now, a lot of the profiles are initially public because they want to make it public and it serves their business interests. But most people are aware that there are privacy settings, that the stuff they're sharing is personal, and they only want their friends to see it. So most people tweak their privacy settings on their Facebook page so that it's protected. They decide what is publicly viewable and what is not. So oftentimes when you go to someone's Facebook page, you can see a few things, but a lot of it's protected and behind this privacy wall. But if you just go to their Facebook page, you're not connected to them, whatever you see there is fair game. But oftentimes the stuff you really want to see is behind this privacy wall. When you want to see the guy lifting, you know, carrying furniture into a house when he said that his back hurts. When you want to see some, you know, in a matrimonial case, the husband, you know, in Vegas with, you know, strippers or something, you know, those pictures typically tend to be, or the wife, as the case may be, those pictures tend to be behind these privacy walls. So you want to be able to get access to Facebook to see the behind that, but there are a lot of rules that become that are applied. And then there's LinkedIn. LinkedIn is intended to be public, and most of the time it is, but sometimes people will protect certain information on LinkedIn. And typically what people share on LinkedIn is it's the professional social network, so it's professional. Links to content they've created, articles that are relevant to their business, awards that they've won. You know, the stuff that they post on LinkedIn tends to be professionally related. The reason LinkedIn is important is the passive notifications that we'll talk about in relation to researching jurors. But what those passive notifications mean is when you go to LinkedIn and you view somebody's profile, unless you've tweaked your settings, as long as you're signed into LinkedIn, you have a LinkedIn account and you're signed in, unless you've tweaked your settings, they will get a notification that you viewed their LinkedIn page. And oftentimes it'll just appear on the side of the page, and some of them may get emails depending on the email settings they have. But that comes in really into play when it's you're researching jurors. And there have been two different decisions, opinions handed down about whether that constitutes communication, impermissible communication with a juror. So we'll talk about that a little further, and I'll also explain to you some options to avoid providing those notifications so that you can research jurors on LinkedIn and won't run into that issue. Facebook and Twitter, there aren't notifications like that sent out to people, so people don't know whether you're looking at their Twitter page or their Facebook page. Sometimes there will be you'll see something show up in your Facebook page. Find out who looked at your profile. You know, who's looking at your Facebook profile. Don't download that. Usually those are some sort of spam or spyware or something. So there's no way of there's no way of telling if someone's looking at your Facebook profile. So just for future reference, you're just gonna have to live with the fact that you don't know who's stalking you on Facebook. The thing with ethics and any other type of technology is there's gonna be a lot of people telling you what you can't do, especially with other types of tech. Like the IT people trying to scare you off from using new tech because their jobs are so invested in the old tech. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to make educated decisions, and some of the information that you get isn't going to make a lot of sense, or it's gonna be quite obvious, you know, and you could have figured it out on your own. Sometimes it's not going to make a lot of sense, and it's going to seem a little bit random when it comes to this. At the end of the day, you need to do what I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, read about some of these things and stay abreast of the changes. One thing that's really important when it comes to social media in particular is that whether it's marketing, whether it's using social media to mine for evidence or jury research, it simply changes the medium, not the message. And so even though we only have a handful of ethics decisions, opinions that address some of these topics, oftentimes you can look at the offline corollary, similar offline behavior, and come up with analogies that will guide you. And that's what the best opinions and court decisions do when they address these issues as well. You need to look at the equivalent offline conduct that's similar. And that will often give you, if someone else hasn't addressed it yet, an idea of what you can do. But what the ethics committees have said so far is when you want to spy on someone using social media, witnesses in a case or the main party on the other side, sometimes it's okay. There are two key themes, and there have been a bunch of different opinions handed down. For the most part, they're all pretty consistent. They're from a bunch of different states. The general guidelines and the key themes that have come down is when you're trying to spy on somebody online, get information about them, if the social media postings are publicly viewable, it's fair game. So if whatever you can see when you're not connected to somebody and you go to their social media page, whatever's there and you have no connection, that's fair game. But another thing that you need to keep in mind is whether the person being researched is represented by counsel. Because when the person is being represented by counsel, sometimes when you're trying to access information behind that privacy wall, that can change things. So the two things you need to be aware of is whether they're represented by counsel or not. If it's publicly available, no matter what, it's pretty much fair game. You haven't done anything to actually create a connection with this person. It's just publicly available. Anyone who wants to see it, that's okay. But if that person's being represented by counsel when you are researching them and it's not publicly available, that will trigger some things. Most jurisdictions agree that it's improper to attempt to connect with somebody known to be represented by counsel but viewing publicly viewable profiles is fair game. So the vast majority have said, if this person is represented by an attorney, you need to let that attorney know that I'm going to try to connect with your client on social media, or I'm going to have one of my agents or representatives do that. Deception is not okay. Passive notifications, which is what we talked about on LinkedIn, it depends on who you ask. And so the ABA and the New York City Bar and the New York County Lawyers Association have come down on different places. So essentially, when you're researching jurors, anything that is publicly available is okay. You cannot contact jurors. You cannot ask to be their friends. You cannot, that's not allowed. You're not supposed to communicate with jurors, just like when you're stuck in an elevator with a juror. You know, you're supposed to look at your feed and do everything you can to get off the elevator as soon as you can to avoid affecting the trial. It's the same thing. You absolutely cannot do anything except look at things that are publicly available. But what you run into, as I talked about previously, is those passive notifications on LinkedIn. So are those passive notifications communications that are impermissible? The American Bar Association and the New York City Bar and the New York County Lawyers are at odds on this. So then the ABA has said it's unethical to communicate with jurors. Attempts to access jurors' social media information behind privacy walls is not okay. Publicly information, available information is okay. But they have said that passive notifications are not a communication. So you can stay, according to the ABA, you can stay logged into your LinkedIn account and research jurors, and if they get a notification that you looked at their page, that's not a communication and it's okay. Importantly, they said that if improper juror conduct is discovered, you must take remedial measures, including disclosure to the tribunal. So you have to tell the judge if you discover improper juror comments that could affect the trial. But then you get the New York City Bar and the New York County Lawyers Association. The New York City Bar said, lawyers can use social media to research jurors as long as they're unaware. They said the passive communication is a notification. If the juror would be aware that you're monitoring, then it's unethical. And attorney and agents must avoid deception. So in the context of researching jurors using social media, an attorney must understand and analyze the relevant technology, privacy settings, and policies of each social media service. So you need to understand how these platforms work when you're researching jurors on social media. The New York County Lawyers Association said that you can monitor jurors' public postings, but you cannot connect with them, so they all agree on that. You have to have a thorough understanding of the platforms, and passive notifications are communications. So they both New York committees agree that that's a communication, and the ABA says it's not. But I really like what the New York County Lawyers Association opinion says on this last point. If you discover improprieties, you have to notify the court, and you can't use them to gain a tactical advantage. So you can't say to the opposing party, hey, this is going to be a mistrial because of what this juror said. Let's just settle this thing on the sly and no one will be the worse for the wear. The New York County Lawyers Association said you can't do that. And I think that that generally is probably a good rule of thumb across the board. To avoid this whole issue of passive notification, since your jurisdiction hasn't addressed it, what you do is you either sign out of your LinkedIn account before you research jurors, in which case they won't know that you've seen their page, or else you can change your settings so you appear as an anonymous viewer. So anonymous viewed your profile. And so that way, because it hasn't been addressed in your issue jurisdiction and there's conflicting opinions in two different jurisdictions, that's the best way. It's just to log out of your LinkedIn account or change your settings. And then you can research jurors without worrying about whether you've triggered this passive notification and communication issue. The more you learn, the more you know. You'll impress your colleagues, your clients. And if you learn about social media, your kids will be impressed. So what's more impressive than that?